Tsleil-Waututh and Squamish Nation peoples, the Coast Salish, from UBC campus in Vancouver. Mr. Dana, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm doing good. It's getting chilly outside now.
Yep.
Time to get the layers up. Time to start listening to the music that only hits when it's cold outside.
Which is what for you?
Bryson Tiller.
Just R&B.
Yeah, some smooth R&B. You're right. You see, I got my R&B playlist up. It's 24 hours long.
Perfect. But, that'll get you through tomorrow.
Yeah,
exactly.
It'll get me through the entirety of the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm good.
Every second of that day.
Enjoying the weather.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing well too, Hugh. Thank you for asking. I'm in a much better mood this week than I was last week when we were in the studio for some reason.
Because there's no Drake, man. We don't have to talk about Drake.
This has nothing to do with Drake.
The weight off your shoulders.
This has nothing to do with Drake, and it has everything to do with... I have no idea what it has anything to do with. I'm just in a better mood. Just
it's
less
good to
stressed.
Hear, man. So what have you been listening to today now that you're in a better mood?
I've been listening to podcasts today.
Oh, all right, never mind. Boo.
Like again, I know I'm slipping on the music front a little bit, but...
What podcast were you tuning into?
Listening to the two sports podcasts I like. I was listening to the Through the Wire podcast, which is a basketball podcast, which is just, you know, four guys shooting the crap, pretty much, just talking about basketball and stuff. That is not with Jeff Teague. There is no former players.
Oh.
It's just guys who do a thing, and they do it well. And then I was listening to the 32 Thoughts podcast, which is an NHL podcast, hosted by Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick. So two like legit reporters for that one. And then the other one is just people talking out their butts essentially about what they think's going on or what they think's going to happen. And I mean, 32 Thoughts is talking out your butt as well, pretty much. Just you have a Sportsnet branded thing going on with it. And when they speculate on trades and things of that nature, there's a little more validity to it. But regardless, yeah. That's what I've been listening to today.
Fair enough, man. I'm more of a podcast P kind of guy, but...
You're actually a podcast P type kind of guy?
Well, actually, I'm more of a shop. I like the shop.
Of course, yeah.
I really like the shop, but... Mm-hmm.
We have a brawn sexual in the room.
Like goat.
The amount of... I feel like Hugh sends me... on Instagram every single story that LeBron
posts.
Oh
yeah, dude, that's on purpose.
I know, but it's just every time it's like, oh, Hugh Dana sent you a story from King James. And now it's Bryce. Now you're moving into the kids as well.
The Bryce just like reposted what he posted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the first one there, which was actually a cool little clip of him and Erling Haaland. But
yeah, it was a cool little Beats ad. But, you know, next thing I know, I'm going to be getting, you're going to be sending me posts by Savannah, posts
oh,
from
no.
Zuri, just the
no,
whole James gang.
No. Shout out to James gang. Bronze. Anyways, let's talk about some music. So,
talking to the side of the microphone more because there's a piece of tape on it that's
yeah.
used to talk.
Oh, there
side.
We go. But last week we had some. I mean, obviously, new music drops every day. Last week, nothing too big dropped, but we didn't talk about the recent Bad Bunny album. But we won't get like too into that because I know you don't. Listen to Bad Bunny that much. It was Bad Bunny's trap record.
Oh.
Nadie sabe lo que va a pasar mañana. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, it's like largely rap. There's less singing. I think because of that, it's kind of harder to listen to as someone who's not fluent in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Because like there's less melody and it's more just like him chopping and rhyming. But I just think it's worth mentioning because it's Bad Bunny. He
yeah.
is A tier. Some really cool songs on here, like Monaco. I really like Hibiki. Where She Goes is cool. What's the other one I like? Telefono Nuevo. New phone. That's
new
a good
phone.
One. Pero Negro is the big hit right now. But yeah, I just thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, of course.
Just briefly, it's 22 songs, an hour and 21 minutes. Definitely not probably my least favorite Bad Bunny record I've like sat through.
Mm.
And I've sat through Everything since YHLQMLDLG or whatever this one's called. YHLQMDLG. I forget what that acronym is, but...
That actually piques my interest, though. I'm just curious to hear... Because...
My favorite Bad Bunny records?
No, just... Well, sure, if you want to talk about your favorite Bad Bunny records, but just the fact that it is more of a rap album actually interests me.
You and I listened to Un Preview together. I really liked it. I know it's harder for you to like this music because obviously you can't understand a lick of Spanish.
Hey, now that's disrespectful. When you said Nuevo Telefona, I knew exactly what that meant. Or Telefono Nuevo.
What about Mercedes Corato?
Something to
Carota.
Do with Mercedes, like a golden Mercedes, perhaps? Like a gold carrot?
What about Where She Goes?
No idea what those words mean.
But anyways, yeah, I mean... I feel like this one has had, there's been less like commercial buzz about this record. That's obviously because it is kind of a rap record and it is much harder to listen to than Un Verano Sin Ti, which is my personal favorite. I mean, look at the streaming numbers on this. Goodness gracious. I love Un Verano Sin Ti. I also love Ultimate World Tour or El Último Tour del Mundo. Oasis is really good with J Balvin. But since we don't really have a album we're gonna dissect today, I thought we could just briefly bring up Nadie Sabe Lo Que Va Pasar Mañana.
I love your Spanish accent.
Gracias. But yeah, I know that because there wasn't anything we wanted to really dive into, today's gonna be more of a loose conversation, which tend to be kind of a little more all over the place and sometimes more fun. And I know that you wanted to talk about Drake again. I'm kidding. But I know you had some stuff you wanted to, some ideas, some opinions you wanted to float.
Oh goodness. I mean, I guess I always do, but you said that you had some.
Oh, I did have
stuff.
A few ideas.
Yeah.
Well, the weather is getting colder out there.
I like it when you, like, just have, like, a sentence, basically, that you just put out there.
So I was... Well, let me get the thought process through. This will be random without... So I mentioned Bryson Tiller.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to some Bryson Tiller, and I was thinking, who are some other artists who had a brutal sophomore slump like Bryson Tiller? And I was like, oh, that's a conversation we could really get into because obviously that's somewhat subjective.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know how often you listen to Bryson Tiller...
No, not that much. The first person that came to mind with sophomore slump was the great downfall of Roddy Ricch. I was thinking about him. That was the first name came to mind for
really?
Sophomore slump. What was his second album?
I thought it was Please Excuse Me for Being
Antisocial. I thought that was his debut.
Oh, I guess Feed the Streets 2 is a mixtape.
Yeah.
But because I didn't know what was what back then, this was like Roddy Ricch's first album to me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean,
like the first thing on the Spotify account, so that makes sense. You would assume it's the first real release, I guess.
Yeah, Roddy Ricch is fully off, truly off. Like I don't even see him on features. I didn't see him on Mustard's last record.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a testament to the ever-changing landscape that is hip hop.
It's just music in general and the internet age, there's always something new coming out.
Another conversation that's also kind of interesting to have is people who somehow escaped the fall off, like Lil Yachty. I mean, maybe actually musically Lil Yachty kind of has been off for a while.
Yeah, but that was just a very ambitious idea. Someone, though, related to the sophomore slump idea, who I think just another name to put out there that, like, I think you were expecting maybe a bit of a sophomore slump from Olivia Rodrigo.
And, me?
Yeah, well, you just, whenever we talked about her, you just sort of seemed way more skeptical about her than I was.
Well, I was curious that, I just felt like if she released another record that was all heartbreak songs, it just wouldn't be as popular. Just because usually people, like we said about the Drake album, when you get the same thing multiple times, you tend to enjoy it less and for less amount of time. And I mean, obviously I've ever heard from her as like breakup songs. And I was like, if, and there was a thought that if I thought maybe if she does this again, she won't be as commercially big. And she wasn't as commercially big again.
No, but
everything
the,
is kind of going through so fast. If you're not Taylor Swift or The Weeknd, you kind of are in and out.
But also the level of commercial bigness that she achieved the first time around is pretty hard to expect someone to get back up there. I think she's done quite well with the second album.
Yeah. I mean,
I just think she's a really good artist.
She is, and she's a wonderful songwriter, and she did go back and write.
There's more breakup songs on there.
There's more breakup songs, but she's definitely incorporated some different things, and she's just really good about writing about her life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just enjoy. Those are just songs to enjoy, and that's someone who's kind of never going to fall off.
And the window dressing is different too on Guts versus yeah. Sour. Just the presentation of those ideas is very different.
No, yeah, it all worked. It all worked. I didn't know what she was going to do because I didn't really know how much creative input she had in Sour because she was nowhere to hear. And, like, as we know, it takes so long. Like, it took Benny X, like, 8 years to finally get a placement. And look how good Benny X is. So I was like, oh, I wonder how much of it was her. But obviously this is all her. So she definitely, she hit the nail on the head. Guts is amazing. I like Guts more than Sour.
Mm.
But just because I like how she dresses it up and there's just some incredible songs. And you can see that the evolution of her, the way she looks at things and the way she handles things has changed. It's just like a more grown-up album that I can enjoy more because she's lived more life as someone in more adult situations and not just like on the sets of these shows.
Mm-hmm. Those are good points. Just of having lived more life.
Yeah, I would say that album exceeded my expectations. I guess we could talk about both. Expectations that were exceeded and then sophomore slumps. I mean, someone who comes to mind immediately to me is Yeet. Like, I'm stunned that this guy keeps getting bigger and bigger.
I know.
But we did mention that he does, like, is evolving. He's changed up his sound. He's put real instrumentals in. His flows how he dresses, his flows up change, but it's largely the same.
Yeah, he's still, like, kind of limited in as a vocalist, but as long as the instrumentals that he's been rapping over, and also his cadence, like, he's way more intelligible now than he was at the beginning, which I think is a big change. For sure. Not necessarily good or bad one way or the other, but it's a big change. And the presentation of his songs has evolved significantly, even if the words out of his mouth are not that much different. You know, the everything else going into the song is evolving.
Yeah. Should we continue this conversation on about, I think an album that I was very disappointed, I guess we'll just talk about albums that kind of didn't meet our expectations or that weren't great. One that immediately comes to mind for me is Solar Power by Lorde.
Yeah.
That.
We talked about this one a bit in the 2020s bracket, but yeah, that album.
We did?
Yeah, it came up, but not, I forgot about that not show. Extensively, but yeah, no, that album was a disappointment. It just wasn't. I mean, that album, she's coming off of two really phenomenal and like really punchy albums that I think have a lot of songs that really stick. And Solar Power did not have those same qualities. Like, I don't think it's not like as catchy or as punchy or as. Like, you compare a song like Greenlight or Sober. Or Ribs, White Teeth Teens, to a, like, Stoned at the Nail Salon. And just, like, the stickiness is inferior. And, yeah, just, like, Solar Power, though, is just, it's such a soft album that I think an album like that, I think just kind of has a harder time sticking around and being big because it's softer, and so it's a little quieter, and it's, oh my goodness, something just fell off the wall. But what am I trying to, like, it just doesn't hit you as hard in the same way as something as melodrama does. But then I was thinking about softness and people who make soft sounding albums, and then my mind went to Billie Eilish, of course, but she's an exception.
But that's like kind of like the itinerary of her sound. Like, it's harder to go from like being like a true pop star who writes about like these fluorescent and these really colorful experiences and times of life. And then it's going to be harder to grab people's attention when you flip it and do a softer album. And Billie Eilish's voices and the production and the songwriting have always kind of been softer, just because it facilitates her voice and their production. I mean, all of that is just masterful. We don't, like, not enough can be said about them. I just think that it's really hard to do that 180. Like, Billie Eilish wasn't like a super fluorescent pop star with like anthems like Royals and such, and it's just harder to switch that sound around. And an unexpected fan base will, of course, will not embrace it, because, like, I mean, humans just inherently aren't attracted to things that are new, especially when it's coming from something they're comfortable with and they really like. Mm-hmm. And I think that Solar Power just kind of falls into that. Now, I would rather that happen than something like Culture 3 by the Migos, where it's just like, oh no. It's just like, here this comes again. Yeah, it's just like refed. And like, you still, like, you look at Culture 3 and you look at Solar Power completely differently, right? But I'm talking about, like, in why they didn't live up to, like, just in the sake of this conversation, why they didn't live up to the expectations. One of them went one direction that we didn't like, and maybe we didn't see the vision, and it just we weren't able to digest it well, and the other one was just what you had expected for so long, you needed a switch up.
Yeah. This kind of conversation we've been having about Solar Power is kind of tough and does feel a little bit hypocritical.
But that's why I wanted to, like, highlight the praise we were giving Troy Sivan last week when we said, oh, to switch up your sound and for it to be... I know that the switch up between Troy Sivan and Lorde was not as much.
Lorde switched harder than Troy Sivan.
And grantedly, Lorde loves to write about the experience she's having in life. And during COVID, which is when I think she wrote the album, she wrote what she was expecting, or what she was living. But that's why I did want to put the hammerhead on the nail with the fact that Troy Sivan's sound shifted and it really worked well. And whenever that does happen and people immediately eat it up, like Utopia is a perfect example. It always sets the artist up a little higher for the next one. But it's so hard to do that because it's also a risk, right? Because, like, Lorde, you could fall flat and people are disappointed. And, like, someone like Lorde's not going to lose fans and have to be concerned about it. But it's just hard to change your sound up and for people to still digest it and enjoy it the same.
It's a risk making the switch, switching things up, which is, you know, like if you do it well, you're lauded for it, and it's like, wow, you're so creative and you can do all these different things. And if it falls flat, it's like, oh, you idiot, you had a good thing and you bungled it.
Yeah.
So,
which is kind of how it works for everything. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. But at the same time, though, for music, you may not know that it's broken until you... I can't stretch this analogy far enough.
But, no, I understand. Like, but...
Like, Migos probably thought that the Culture 2 thing, like Culture 3 was going to be a hit because they're just giving everyone another helping, and it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Culture 2 was a huge success commercially, so we're just going to run it back once more.
But even, like, Culture 2, I feel like people thought was a little repetitive.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's still a step down from the original Culture, but there was still a lot of big hits on Culture 2.
Yeah, Culture 2 might have been more of a commercial success, but like rap fans were like, that was kind of the feeling I was getting from Olivia Rodrigo, even though it had only been one album. but obviously she's far better than Migos. But it was kind of the same feeling as an, okay, like, can you give us something more? Because, like, I've heard what you can do with this sound. Let's see something else. And, like, this Bad Bunny record is just like that, which is kind of funny that we brought this up prior. this is a detour from his normal, like, I mean, like, reggaeton mixed mm-hmm. with deep trap, mixed with some house. This is more stripped, more just him and, like, a thinner instrumental. Different drums. It's not the classic reggaeton drums that I know you like to make fun of on Bad Bunny records.
Well, I only make fun of them, really, because I remember you making the point of, like, yeah, all the drums sound the same. And then I just felt emboldened to point that out every time. I knew I was in a safe space for criticism.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't have any problem. I don't, like, dislike Bad Bunny, though. I just...
No, yeah, it's just, like, you just can't like him as much as someone who can understand him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or... Well, an album that I think that maybe... This could be a hot take, but this is... This is, like, all these albums that we're discussing that, like, oh, didn't meet our expectations. Oh, they weren't, like, received well. There's, like, a multitude of reasons for that happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
An album that I was surprised with kind of how, not how little reception it got, but I just assumed it would get monstrous reception was Don FM.
Yeah, I think The Weeknd came out with Don FM too soon. Yeah,
that's After Hours. That was my point I was making.
Because, like, Blinding Lights was, like, still the number one song in the world when he dropped the next thing. And so I think they were just too close together. I guess it is surprising that Don FM didn't really make, like, the individual cultural impact that After Hours had. But at the same time, though, just the amount, like, The Weeknd's only gotten more popular since Don FM came out.
Except for his show. Or until his show came out.
Yeah, until he made The Idol, which was, I've never watched a second of it, but it was apparently terrible. But that's unrelated to the music, though. But what was I saying? But, like, regardless, though, like, he's still only gotten bigger since that album came out, and so even if the album didn't make, like, a significant individual impact, I still think just its release and its existence and the new songs still helped to, like, continue the momentum going instead of, like, letting the momentum die down and bring it up again. The current was already raging and he just gave it an extra push, kind of.
Mm-hmm. What do you expect from Abel Tesfaye next? You think he's going to release any more music?
Yeah, well, isn't the After Hours Don FM thing supposed to be a trilogy?
Yeah, but he's not going to release any more music as The Weeknd, so you expect that last album to be under Abel Tesfaye? That'd
actually be kind of cool, in my opinion.
Oh, okay, that would make sense, because I guess he died.
Yeah, oh, well, there we go. Well, we just figured it out.
Right, he died at the end of After Hours, and then Don FM was kind of like purgatory, right? I don't remember. I don't remember, like, the cohesive, like, vision that he painted in, like, his music videos.
I thought like Don FM was way more about his death.
Yeah,
his, like, hypothetical
death. But I meant, like, the music videos. He dies in the last one he made for After Hours.
Okay, but regardless, though, that would actually make a lot of. That'd be a really clever way of doing it.
Yeah,
eh?
That'd be dope. And I do expect him to release at least one more project as Abel Tesfaye.
I think he'd be a fool to not just keep releasing music.
I just don't know if he wants to.
But, like, it's all still been so good that there's still ambition and... I can't read that. There's still ambition and new ideas and stuff being done. Like, it's not like somebody like Drake, where we were talking about last week, where we were saying that we think this person needs a break, needs a creative reset so that they can come up with some new ideas. I think The Weeknd's still in a very creative space.
Totally.
So
I just go ahead.
So I just based off that, And the fact that the quality is still so high, I can't see why he wouldn't want to keep making music. I see no indication based off his releases that he wouldn't, that he would want to stop making music or is losing the ambition to do this.
I mean, I just wonder if with the name change, if he just doesn't want to be considered a singer anymore. And I think that's one of the main reasons he did the idol, is because he wanted a shift in perception. I don't think he wanted people to perceive him the way they perceived him after the idol, but I think they wanted to perceive him the way people kind of look at The Rock and John Cena as, like, this multi-pronged superstar, right? Mm-hmm. As someone who's like an actor but also a wrestler, or an actor but also a singer. And
Donald Glover.
Yeah, exactly. Donald Glover's probably better, works better for this topic. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously, like, when I go back and listen to Don FM, it's as good as After Hours. Like, it's still so good. Everything that you expect from a weekend record to be present is still present, and more, with all of, like, the crazy, like, I mean, we've talked about Don FM enough.
But, yeah, I think it's just an indication that there's not really any slowing down going on his front, or at least publicly facing. I don't know what's going on in the man's head, of course. We're approaching the 27 minute mark here, though, so I do think it is high time to play a song and get some commercials in.
What should we play? Should we play Barboni?
I think we should.
All right.
You make the pick.
I think we should play Hibiki by Bad Bunny featuring Mora.
All right. Here that is.
Yeah, so this is Hibiki off of Bad Bunny's new album, Nadie Sabe Lo Que Va a Pasar Mañana. This is Hibiki.
Imaginándote, metiéndome de todo, preguntándole a Dios el porqué. No me levanto tocándote, aquí mirando el reloj, que no para de dar vueltas como yo. Y ando por ahí bebiendo en la ciudad, buscando qué hacer desde que tú no estás. De tu cuerpo ya yo soy usuario, y el tocarte se volvió necesario. Y ando por ahí bebiendo en la ciudad, buscando qué hacer desde que tú no estás. De tu cuerpo ya yo soy usuario, y el tocarte se volvió necesario. Y ando bien loco, mezclando humo y alcohol, viendo salir el sol, mirando la foto. Te di de todo y mami me dejaste solo. Tú eras mi tesoro, pero ya no brilla el oro. En la noche oro, pero tú no me haces coro. A 100 por el Teodoro.
Ay, 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 ay. Te convertiste en mi vicio. Baby, te lo meto si me das permiso. Quisiera verte aunque sea para por bicho, jalarte por el pelo, despeinarte toda, después te doy chavo pa'l beautichon. En ese totito cabe perfecto mi bicho. En la G-Wagon ya no estamos pa' pedicho. Los polvos contigo más son especiales dicho. Te lo juro, estoy quitado hace tiempo, no chicho. Esperando a verte. Hey, comiéndome las luces y todos los pares, bebiendo whisky, fumando hogares, hey, tirando celulares, hey, depresivo al care, hey, buscando una chori, chori, que el corazón me repare, mami, que me ve si me lo pare, pero, hey, no hay una que a ti se compare, no, 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 no.
No, no. No, no.
Ey, y ando por ahí bebiendo en la ciudad, buscando qué hacer desde que tú no estás. De tu cuerpo ya yo soy usuario, y extrañarte se volvió mi diario.
Are you looking for ways to be a part of the community through low-stakes opportunities like volunteering? What about making friends that are really cool or have some common interests? Well, I'm here to tell you that at CITR, you can come volunteer at Volunteer Wednesdays, happening every other Wednesday from 12 to 3 with a really fun activity each time, like making signs or button making. Not only is it a great break from outside stress, but a great opportunity to be a part of the community. For more information, you can visit CITR's Instagram page at CITR and Discorder.
You want to change the state of the world, but instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both! Rock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing healthcare, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder, because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
And we back and we back and we back from Hibiki Land. And
I don't know what that means.
The word Hibiki?
Yeah,
I don't know either. It could mean nothing. It could be slang.
Yeah, it is slang.
Yeah, it's not going to be in the dictionary is what I'm saying. It means something to someone, and to the people that it means something to, hopefully it means something good to them. Is the perspective worth having. So the next part of this discussion, I guess, this just a wide-ranging conversation, to take a borrow a phrase from John Mulaney, is to... So something you said, talking about Bad Bunny earlier, where you said that it's harder to, you know, it's obviously like harder to enjoy a song in a language that you're not fluent in. Apparently, Hibiki is a Japanese word which can be translated as echo or resonance.
Cool. All
right, that's neat.
Bad Bunny does love his Japanese, like, cultural things. Like, he has that song Yonaguni.
Okay.
About that island, like, the island in Japan. Mm. So that would make sense. Okay.
Yeah. And that just made me think about how every time I've shown you a French song, specifically songs from either Stromae or Angèle, you've still really liked them and really enjoyed them, and I feel like have clicked for you kind of immediately.
Yeah, those songs are really good.
Despite the language barrier, which is interesting in a way. It's not really surprising, actually. Because,
why?
Because this is something we've talked about on this and amongst ourselves a bunch, that you're listening for melody. When I'm listening to a song, the thing I'm trying to be like the most focused on is the lyrics, or that's sort of one of the aspects I value the most is the lyrics itself. And you're all about like the melody and just the way things sound.
Yeah, and how it makes me feel.
Mm-hmm. And so, there should be no real surprise that a great French pop song hits the same, and like just among first listen, when on an English song you're not really internalizing all the lyrics immediately either.
Yeah.
For the first listen. Yeah, I just kind of wanted to like talk about some French pop, talk about Angèle specifically for a little bit. I don't have really anything premeditated on this, but she's just an artist that I really enjoy, and that I just kind of want to talk about a bit. So I guess I can just kind of get going on that, because she's I think Stromae is a very well-known French, or no, he's not French, he's Belgian, musician. Like I think he's very well known to a non-francophone audience, because he's absolutely phenomenal, and also he's had like some of the biggest French hits of the last decade, like the biggest French hits of the last decade, with songs like Papa Oute and Formidable and A la Rondance. So like he's had a lot more international exposure, but Angèle is another Belgian pop artist who just by looking at the numbers trademark does not have the same like Anglophone audience, we could say, or just non-Francophone audience. So I want to pimp her out a little bit here. Her most recent album, 95 or just 95, and then there's the deluxe 95 La Suite. Her closest parallel to English music, I would say, is she's like a Belgian Dua Lipa. Fitting, because of course she made a song with Dua Lipa called Fever, which is quite good. She's got sort of the, like, I guess those similar elements to like an album such as Future Nostalgia or even like Melodrama, and just like the punchiness, the energy, the instrumentals of the song are like so captivating. A lot of them, like a song like Libre, for example, just has like a really bright, bouncy beat, really energetic pop beat, and she's singing Elle chante comme un Angèle on that song. Like she sings beautifully. Other songs that like stick out on that album for me, I'm just kind of rambling here, but so feel free to interject at any time, Hugh. But like I think Solo is another really good Angèle song. I think it's one of the more, well, I'm like afraid to overstate things, but it's one of the more like, I guess, lyrically deep songs, at least that like I can understand. Just talking about failed relationships and kind of being done with love but still believing in it, but also just kind of being tired of the same mistakes being made over and over again. Jesus Christ, Bruxelles Je T'aime is another song on that album an ode to Brussels. So I categorize like that album as sort of a grab bag of, you know, her life, her experiences at that point. Hugh, do you have anything to add? I'm just kind of talking about some stuff.
I mean, from what
I feel like I'm doing an ad piece here. Like, I fear that I'm just sort of talking with no purpose. So please engage with me so I feel like my speaking has a purpose.
I mean, like you said, I've really enjoyed the Angèle and the Stromae. I think that they're both not only like catchy, but like you said, there's depth to the music. There's something that everyone can relate to. The production from at least Stromae's production is like insane.
Oh yeah,
his production stands out. It's very like I can pretty much now, if you played a Stromae song, I would almost instantly know it's a Stromae song. Just kind of like his combination of strings and drums, and like how he brings the drums in. Like Stromae has the entire package, and I really enjoyed Stromae's music, even though I can only understand like three words in a song.
Would you consider him a maestro?
Whatever. What is? I mean,
because yeah. His name Stromae is just maestro, but it's in Vallon.
Cool.
It's in Vallon, which is a form of like French slang, where you take the last syllable of a word and you put it at the front. And like that was something that people did pretty much so they could talk about stuff and not have the cops understand them, essentially. But it's big among the youth in France and in the, I guess, in Belgium too. So nice little bit of French grammatical history present in just Stromae's name.
Do you think he'll drop another record? I see it took him 9 years to go from 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm. 9 year gap in between Racine Carrée and Multitude. Do I think he'll drop? I hope so. I really don't know.
Camille Cabello is the only feature.
Yeah, that song wasn't on the original album. That Camille Cabello song was a single that came out and then was added retroactively onto the album.
Oh, okay.
It's not very good.
I'm not the biggest fan of Camille Cabello, to be honest.
Yeah.
Her voice is like, I mean, obviously she's very talented. Her voice just kind of is kind of whiny.
It's kind of, I was going to say, nah, it's not really that scratchy. But.
No, but it's like thin and kind of whiny. I mean, she does have. I mean, I'm not really a big fan of Havana, but I do like Senorita.
I like Havana way more than Senorita. Really, Senorita got on my nerves.
Well, I didn't listen to like that music that much.
A lot of radio play, exactly. So I heard it all the time. That song annoys me because Shawn Mendes' part, he says like the same stuff as Camila Cabello. Even though he's coming at it from the male perspective, so he could be saying something about being called Senor or something, which would have just been a nice contrast. And I like it when songs do that, where like the male perspective and the female perspective, when you have both artists on a song and they're both speaking from the perspective and it's like they're having a conversation through the lyrics, mm-hmm. like they're two different characters in the same story. And when you don't do that, like Senorita does, it's just lazy songwriting, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I think that's one of those songs where you let the lyrics go to the back and you just enjoy what it is as a collective. Senorita, I think, is really catchy, and I think they harmonize really well. And it is like it was kind of like they just started dating, so it like was working well and it was kind of poignant. I really liked Senorita. I didn't mind that he was also saying, I like it when you call me a woman or Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
I just
think that's kind of boring. I assume that Stromae is going to keep coming out with new music.
Or is this like a Frank Ocean situation?
Well, it could have been with Racine Carrée, but then Multitude came out, so... I don't think it's a Frank Ocean situation, because like he was doing stuff in between Racine Carrée and Multitude. Like he had a fashion line going on, and he released a really good song called "Défilé" in promotion of that fashion line. That song right there that you're looking at, it's like 9 minutes long, but it's really good. And on Multitude, he's got a song, L'Enfer, where he's talking about suicidal thoughts and low self-esteem and things of that nature. So I hope that, and so that too was probably, just in my estimation as an observer, that stuff too was probably informing the 9 year pause. And so hopefully now if he's in a better mental state and feels more creative, like he's gotten over a 9 year writer's block, that hopefully he feels more inspired and more happy in his life. And so therefore is more willing to get in the studio and keep making music, because he's that man, you know, he's that man. So... I hope he will. Yeah.
Who's someone who you think won't release any more music?
Ooh.
I would be incredibly surprised if Frank Ocean releases any more music.
Frank Ocean, I would have said that Frank Ocean would until the Coachella
disaster. Debacle.
Where he... really showed in that moment, like, no interest.
Yeah, he's just not in it anymore.
In performing or doing things for the fans. But are also
just, like, appealing to the fans and giving the fans what they want. I just, like, not to say that. I mean, I don't know what his show was going to look like what his performance was going to look like. But, like, the whole thing just gave me the vibe that he's just kind of moved past being a musician and being a performer. And it was always really well documented that he hated everything that came with being, like, a famous musician. And I just think that if he doesn't have to, why would he do that? Because to him, there's no point in releasing any more music. Because the things that come with releasing music are, like, takes that to have such a negative toll on his life that it's just not worth it. And I think that's just where Frank Ocean is.
Then why'd you agree to do Coachella?
Well, he agreed to do it 3 years before he ended up doing it, right? Because you agree, like...
Can you not back out?
Well, you signed the contract.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah, at that point, you want your, like, $22 million or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So, like, in that time, COVID happened, his brother died, like, all of this stuff happened. And so, like, I'm sure he's changed his mind about it, but I would be truly be stunned if Frank Ocean ever dropped more music. I just don't think that he wants to deal with what comes with it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he probably still loves creating music, but he's had just such a negative experience with what comes with it that he's over it.
Yeah.
You don't think Kanye West is? That's an interesting shout.
Well, you know what, though? I think I've seen some discussion about an album, but it seems as though he's having a hard, surprisingly, having a hard time finding, like, someone who wants to release it or whatever, or, like, label affiliation or something along those lines. Although Kanye shouldn't need a label at this point. No. I feel like he's in a state of mind where he probably thinks he can do anything himself. I just kind of hope he doesn't release any new music, because I can't imagine it being good, really, or very coherent until he gets his personal life under control. I don't want it.
I mean, I agree. I wouldn't expect that. I mean, like Frank Ocean, I'd be shocked if Kanye West released any new music in the next 2 years.
Nor should he.
Yeah, and I would also be shocked if Drake released any music in the next 2 years.
I hope.
Outside of, like, being featured.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be shocked if there was... I mean, I just don't think that he's going to... I don't think Rihanna's ever going to drop again.
Yeah, that was another name I was thinking of.
She just doesn't have to.
No, she's got other things going on.
She's also got a family now.
Family. She makes how much money off of Fenty beauty products?
And she still has all them royalties rolling in from decades of being a megastar.
Yeah, she's good.
I don't think she'll ever release again.
She's taken care of.
Who else? You think Kendrick will?
Yeah, I think Kendrick, honestly, now that he's not with Top Dog Entertainment, I honestly kind of expect, maybe this is just me being an overly optimistic fanboy, but, like, I kind of hope for more music now from Kendrick, now that he's on his own label, PG Lang.
What's going on in his life, though?
I have no idea. I mean, he dropped the Hillbillies, that single, so, like, he's still coming out. I
thought that got leaked, and then they dropped it.
I don't know. But him and Baby Keem are headlining, is it Camp Flog Gnaw? Tyler, the Creator's Festival, under the moniker of the Hillbillies, which I just think is awesome. But Kendrick's been more in the public eye post Mr. Morale. He's headlining a festival, or headlined a festival in San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken.
He did all the tours. He was at Lollapalooza.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, he's outside. Yeah, he's done his tour. He's outside again. He's presenting himself publicly after about, you know, 4 years of not doing that. So I think that there will be more Kendrick Lamar in the future. I don't think he's going anywhere. I kind of doubt, I mean, he's not making another Damn. He's not going to make another Good Kid, Mad City or a T-Pab or anything. I think they're going to be more in the line of a Mr. Morale type album where it's just like, you know, not a massive
so you think commercial he's kind success, of exited that phase of his career.
But like artistic, still artistically rich, and the people who listen will enjoy it. Yeah, I think he's not. I don't expect him. He's good. Bleh. I don't expect he's going to be trying to make music for the masses anymore. I think with Mr. Morale is just such a album that is not that. That I just don't. I just don't think that's a priority for Kendrick Lamar, chasing streams or hits. I mean, I guess it was with Damn, but there was. But I think he was trying to make a statement with Damn.
Yeah, that's kind of how I look back on Damn.
Also,
we've seen how watered down the product gets when you've done that. Drake, obviously, his music.
Yeah, exactly. And Kendrick's just not cut from that cloth.
No.
You know, he's not chasing. He's more concerned about his placement in like the hip hop pantheon among hip hop heads. Like he's trying to enter the. I mean, he already is, but he's trying to maintain a status among the people like the Notorious B.I.G. and Tupac and Nas and whatnot. So for that, for making music for with that goal, with those goals, more artistic goals. I can't see him, you know, like wanting to chase streams or fame. I just don't think that's something that interests him.
Do you think the Fall Off ever comes out?
J. Cole album?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he mentioned it again on the Drake project on his feature makes me say yes, because he's still mentioning about it. He's still talking about it. So
was
he
it
better
supposed to come out and then COVID hit, so he yes. dropped the off season.
Yes. That is what was supposed to happen.
J. Cole also kind of avoided falling off as well. Because at least in LA, at least like around my friends, KOD is like really viewed negatively. Like when I was sitting around with my friends this summer and I asked them what is their what album disappointed them the most in recent years, almost instantly two people said KOD.
Interesting. Yeah.
And after that, there wasn't a lot of J. Cole buzz in the circles I was in.
But I think
then Under the Sun came out.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dreamville.
Yeah. And then Off Season's a really good album, too.
Yeah, I didn't actually see that much about the Off Season. I don't know anyone who was like super into the Off Season, but I listened. You actually had convinced me to listen to it, and it's brilliant rapping. He's insane.
Yeah.
I
don't think he's going anywhere.
But I think the Fall Off is. I think the Fall Off would. He would really try. He would really want it to be like a commercial banger.
Hmm.
Because I know the whole point of the album is kind of this bigger constellation of the idea of falling off. But I just, like, I guess 2014 Hills Forest Drive was like a monster album, so.
Platinum with no features. Obligatory platinum with no features mention.
I'd be shocked if SZA releases another album in them. I mean, she's actually kind of popping right now.
No, yeah.
But, like, the last album was so big that I just don't think there'll be that. I just don't think she needs to, even though I feel like she's kind of at the peak of her powers right now, oddly enough.
She'll drop. I think she'll drop.
I wonder if she drops, I think it's in the next year.
I was going to say, it doesn't necessarily need to be anytime soon, but I think she will drop.
Well, I just feel like SZA's never been more popular.
Oddly enough, this is true.
Like, oddly enough, even though she had all the stars, I just think that she's just more talked about because there was that whole thing about telekinesis first being about Drake, and then Snooze blew up again, and she went on tour, and then she was on two Drake songs. And then he has that interview with her on his radio show where he's calling her Scissors, and everyone's like, "What
is going on?" But I think that point about...
There was someone else that I actually wanted to briefly make.
Okay, go. But I think that point about two things. One, we need to wrap up. Two, just the fact that she's been doing a bunch of features post-SOS leads me to believe that she's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Someone else who I'm really like, that I just think the time has come and gone to drop new music, is Miguel.
When was the last time he dropped?
2017.
Yeah, I just don't think of Miguel as, like, of this era.
Exactly.
So, time may have just passed him by on that front.
I mean, Skywalker was...
Skywalker's a very fun song.
Yeah, Come Through and Chill was a big song. Banana Clip was always fun. But Wild Heart, I remember when Wild Heart came out. That was so cool. The song with Lenny Kravitz is unbelievable. I mean, yeah, his biggest hits are all from, like...
2010.
Between 2006 and 2010.
Mm.
But I just thought he was going to drop another album, and he just never did. I think that time has come and gone. Are we actually running out of time, or can
we
briefly
are.
Talk about someone else?
We are, because we need to play some more ads. Because we have a radio license to keep over here, so...
Oh, Young Thug's also never going to drop again.
Yeah, but
or
he's
not
in,
meaningfully.
He's in prison, though, so... Or going to be in prison if he's not already.
I know,
already,
but Business is Business came out...
Yeah, like, they can still drop music, but, like, eventually they'll just run out of good stuff to put out, and so.
Oh, I wonder if Playboi Carti ever drops again.
He better, but it'd be really funny if
he
didn't,
I mean, he just
tried to tour without dropping anything
again,
in 3 years.
And he apparently he couldn't.
No, they were selling, like,
he couldn't sell anything
two-thirds.
That wasn't floor seats.
Yeah.
Because he tried touring something he had just toured, and then he tried to do it in arenas that were twice as big.
With no new material.
So I think that, I wonder if now he will.
Well, he better.
I don't think he was going to. I honestly don't think he was going to. And then he didn't, and then he wasn't selling.
Mm.
I read that he wasn't able to sell anything before.
Yeah, no, I was... seeing similar stuff. Like, he was having... They were not selling nearly enough tickets for that tour. Because there's no new material.
I mean, Lil Baby also had to cancel a ton of shows.
Yeah.
We never talked about that, but, like... I think that's just the consequence of not working on your craft as hard anymore. Because I think Lil Baby will come back with something pretty good.
He has the capacity.
Well, I just think he's someone who kind of would react... I think that some people would react in a certain way where they just wouldn't be able to come back from that, but I think Lil Baby's reaction will, like, invigorate him to come back hard. Because we know he's phenomenal.
Yeah, he can be.
And I just think he got kind of... He was just on his laurels for too long. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we'll cut the show there.
Yeah.
Kind of a winding conversation, but things that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and I think it was still coherent.
Yeah. And juicy.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting crispy outside.
Yep. Bundle up. If we've got time, we don't have time. I'm doing the mental math. I was going to suggest, if we've got time, Hugh, when you're editing this,
we'll play
post,
the Ampar Fox.
No, I was going to suggest you could play Solo by Angèle.
Oh, yes, of course.
Or perhaps Libre, because Libre is a shorter song.
Libre is a really good song.
So if you're hearing that, you're hearing one of those two songs, that's excellent. If not, welcome to the commercials to keep the lights on here at CITR. Thank you all for listening. Have a great rest of your week and weekend and life.
Happy Halloween.
Can you hear that? The SOS to the world from the people of Ukraine. And you've never wanted to help more. Yet you've never felt more helpless. Here's what you can do. Give to the Ukraine Humanitarian Crisis Appeal. The Red Cross is on the ground to make sure your donation supplies food, water, shelter, and other urgent support. Show everyone affected by the Ukraine conflict that you hear them, loud and clear. Go to redcross.ca.
Please fall into a deep, comfortable state of sleep, and then have a friend or associate play the audio.
I think you should straighten up a little bit. I think you should look at yourself in the mirror sometimes and say, look, what am I doing? Why am I this way? You need a kick in the ass once in a while.
Hey, we're back for another Richmond broadcast. This is episode 524. Halloween episode, what can I say? Yeah, we're going to have quite a few Halloween-y sounding songs, even though they're not in particular, at least most of them. This first one is called Bad Girl by the Commotions, as it